We'll call to order our Board of Supervisors meeting, and we'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. And Bauman will still be a few minutes late. Consent agenda. The general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held October 14, 2015. Approve all claims through October 28, 2015 in the amount of $838,801.84, except claim number 14100395 to RL Tiemann Construction.
It should be 15. I need to type 15, the claim number 15100.
1510.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. 15100395 to RL Tiemann Construction Incorporated in an amount of $33,413.09 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Claytonia Rescue, the Village of Claytonia, the EMS Extension Agreement. Approve utility permit number 1038 for Terry Acton. Will be boring an inch and a half PVC water line under County Road, 6 feet deep for 66 feet to provide water for livestock in the southeast fourth of section 23 and southwest fourth section 24, Township 3 North, Range 7 East of Rockford Township. Approve the fiscal year 2014-15 NBCS report from the Highway Department.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byer, second by Tiemann to approve. Comments or?
Ooh, I have a comment.
Anything? What?
Should we be approving this report from Galen yet without hassling him on it at all?
Without hassling. Galen, what report is that? NBCS?
Goes to the Street Highway Budget and Expenditure Report.
Galen.
Financial Report.
Microphone. Mike.
Okay. I didn't know I was going to hassle you this much.
This is a yearly report, and as required by law, and it's our Road and Street Highway Budget and Expenditures Report, our Road and Bridge Contract Report, our Financial Report, Material and Supply Inventory, Machinery and Equipment Report, Equipment Cost Report, and the Certification is what this all contains.
Something we do every year.
Something we do every year, but it don't look like just an easy report. You just punch a button and push out.
No, there's a lot of numbers that
that's what it looks like.
Becky and Nancy have to do in the office.
Thank you. Are any more questions on that? Any more questions on the consent agenda? If not, vote. 6-0. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
I'll wait till you guys get on the agenda.
Do you have something on the agenda you'd like to talk about then?
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. Yeah, when you guys get up to that $300,000, what you want to
say. Oh, the pictometry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some comments on that.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 15100395 to RL Tiemann in the amount of $33,413.09. Totals for claims approved then will be $872,214.93.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers and second by Tiemann to approve, and this is Lytle. Yes, not Tiemann.
Pretty sure he's not seconding that.
No, you don't want to second because he's not going to vote. But this is for some more rock and gravel, or rock gravel hauling. Vote 5 voting in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Committee reports: Building and Ground, Winter Lights.
Really don't have any anything unusual. I see JT has been getting ads in the paper almost every week on the winter lights, and so people should know when that will be taking place, and we'll discuss that more. We usually always have kind of a presentation at that time. but don't think we have anything unusual. They finished over here on the corner and are monitoring the colors on the sides of the building, and then they'll come back later and talk to us about what we might want to do for the rest of the building. And I was thinking there's one other thing, Myron. I can't remember the Davey had, but I don't think so. We're okay on that. That's it.
When we discuss the probation lease there, we'll talk a little bit about there. Dave and I went down and met with them. They'd like a wall up in there and stuff, so we met with Tobias.
Wall.
And then, yeah, but we'll, or I can, so it, I don't care, I can discuss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Dave
now.
Talked to me about that too, Dave, whether we put that wall up, and
yeah,
so
and
you can talk.
Dave and I met with some of the city people and kind of had a couple options there, and visited with, Dave visited with Sarah, I think, and stuff. Later then, and he's going to get some proposals for what that wall would do there or whatever, and they're more for concerns when all the people are showing up for in the morning for their testing, how many they're getting there at one time and stuff, so, and there aren't that many people then there and stuff, so they would like the wall for a little more safety and stuff, so. So Dave's working on that also, yeah.
Yep.
Equalization.
Nothing more.
Finance.
What did we discuss besides doing the claims?
Yeah. You have a $400,000 transfer for the road, which is just...
Road,
just,
yes.
That was one of the bigger claims.
That's why the claims were 800 and some thousand, because the $400,000 transfer into the road bridge budget, part of the budget from the general.
Yeah. For operations.
Operations.
Otherwise, we just did our claims.
Just did the claims? Okay. Human resource, employee relations?
Nothing.
Nothing. Law enforcement? Emergency management.
Gus had a couple of new deputies that he announced that he'd hired. Just a little bit of turnover there. Other than that, the only real other thing we discussed was some possible new overtime rules that could be coming in the next couple of years. Just kind of some preliminary discussions. And then we'll also have the jail discussion later on here. Emergency management. Version X of the Blue Springs water tower discussion. Other than that, not a lot.
Okay. Road and bridge.
Well, Myron, the main thing, I guess, was Matt from Minnelli Wagner was down and gave us the plans and everything else on Hickory Road. The bids are due in by 9:30 a.m. November 2nd.
No, and that's a misprint.
On November 12th, I mean. Excuse me. November 12th, 2015, and bids will be open November 12th, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. Just some stuff when I was reading through here, some basic things. Phase one is approximately 1.3 miles of grading and concrete. Phase two, approximately 2.9 miles of grading and concrete paving. Both phases will be complete June 1st, 2017. On phase one, there's a projection of 100 calendar days for completion, and on phase two, 180 calendar days for completion.
Terry, your June 1st of 2017, that is the date when the project will have to be done by.
Final completion date. That doesn't mean it's going to
be. We don't know
no.
when they can start. That
no.
we'll find out
no.
more when the bids are open.
Right.
Right.
That's the completion date.
That,
so there's a little leeway in there for these people to move in, and so yeah. those dates aren't set. But the main thing is 100 calendar days on one, 180 on two.
Right, on the
from
on
start
the phases,
to finish.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it can't all be done in 2016. It
no,
may,
sure.
We don't
sure.
win, but
sure.
The
I'm not saying it'll be 2017.
Yeah.
I'm hoping everything will be finalized in 16.
The proposal going out, it will be done by
that's correct
June 1st, 2017.
Yep.
That's in the bid proposals that the people
yep.
are receiving.
Yes. Yep. Some other things I just noticed in there. The base, there'll be a 2-inch by 25-foot base of crushed rock. The lanes are going to be 12-foot wide, which is good, 24-foot total. And then there'll be a 6-foot earth shoulder on either side. There's an option. First option, 8-inch doweled concrete. Second option, 9-inch doweled concrete. So we'll see what difference is in price and make a decision on which direction after we get our prices on that. Of course, there's joints in there. That's basically the basic part of that. And I spoke to Galen this morning, and there was some questions about trees, who's responsible for the removal with Norris, and how far we have to go, and which trees, and everything else. So with that, Galen and Matt Manning are going to meet with Norris at 1 o'clock tomorrow and take a good look down there and just see what who's responsible for what and who's responsible for doing this one and that one. So he's getting started on that already. The rest of it, basically the bridge crew, they're starting work back on the Philly Adams blacktop shouldering work. DeWitt project is done, I think, Galen, correct? It's finished. Culvert were put in and the road repaved in that area. And that's it.
I got a couple other things, I guess, Galen. I've had a couple other people too tell me and wanted to compliment the crew on putting some of these big culverts in around the county. I've had two people visit with me and really like the job that they're doing. So if you could pass that on, that we're hearing some positive comments about that. They like the fact that the culverts are going in, one, but they also like the fact of what how the crew did the dirt and how they shaped it and how that worked. The other thing, I guess, my question, I forgot to ask it when Matt was here, these trees, when we accept the bids or whenever we finalize these bids, can somebody, say in Norris Electric, if they want to put lines up, can some of the people out on that road start to be losing trees, or when is that? You understand what I'm saying? If Norris, I don't know when Norris wants to start working on their lines, electric lines out there, you know. But could some of the trees on the road, once we accept the bid, then this project, you know, it wouldn't be the construction company. Their days would not start. But when could some of those trees be going out for Norris Electric?
Well, as soon as the contractor and or county goes in and removes them.
Well, I just...
It could happen any time, actually.
I just kind of want some of those people to be aware of out there that some of those trees might start being coming out, not to expect them to be there, you know, next summer or whatever yet. So, you know,
They'll have to be out by next spring, early.
They'll have to be out by next spring. Okay. So that
I would assume that Project Norris wouldn't want to start to tackle this fall anymore.
No.
I would assume so, but the tree work could certainly
be started.
You know,
if we do it or if they hire somebody, Norris does independently or something, that some of that tree work could start any time now, just so some of the people out there are kind of, you know, pass that along out there to Hoyg so that those people aren't going, well, you took my trees away for the winter or something. You know, I don't want them being upset, just so they understand it more than anything, I guess, so.
They got your number.
They got my number, yeah, I know they do, yeah.
Myron, well, just a different subject, but just something that's interesting, I guess, to me. On that bridge on 136 west of Fairbury, there's going to be bids let on it to replace it in June of 2016, and the start date on that will be August of 16. And completion date of September of 2017. So that bridge is going to be out of there for a full year. Traffic will be detoured, I think they said, through Highway 8, down to Highway 8 through Reynolds, back up through that way. Chester, I think. Anyway, the reason I say that is that's our main, one of the main drags to go get our gravel, to go over the Powell pit. A sand and gravel is right over that road. So Galen's been real good about it. We were getting caught up on these gravel allocations and everything else, so we want to stay ahead of the game because it's going to be a lot harder next year to get to those locations. So just something to keep in mind.
Will that, Galen, maybe have some effect on our bids, or our spring bids, you know, whenever we, in February or something, whenever we put out for our spring bids? I mean, the fact that these people will probably know that, or haulers.
It could possibly on the trucking part.
That's what I meant, on the trucking part, yeah.
One other comment. The roads are in excellent shape.
How's our pumpkin crop?
I don't know, growing yet.
Did you get away?
Okay. Next up on our agenda, Glennis presenting the Engage third quarter report. So,
good morning, everyone. I am Glennis McClure, Executive Director of Engage, and already another quarterly report for you. And I believe you received copies of a narrative that follows along with our objectives that we've set out for Engage, and brief reports on each of those items, on activities that we've done for the last quarter. And already time just flies. Here we are almost the end of October, so it's kind of hard sometimes to recall what we did back in July. And then also there should be like a two-page sheet front and back that shows you sort of the metrics, and again, it's sort of a numbers summary for you of activity and so on. So as far as highlights, I guess, for the quarter that we're reporting on, we did have a business recognition event in August, and so that kept us really busy with many contacts, making sure we're getting our lists up to date and so on of businesses, and that's just an ongoing project. Somewhere along the line, I think I saw where there's about 1,200 businesses in Page County, so we don't have a list quite that long, but of course we try to at least, make note of the major businesses that we have around, at least. And so we had about 106 attendees to that. We had our DED director at the time, who isn't there anymore, and they're still trying to fill that position. But she came down and gave us an update on what they were doing. And the state is working on a branding project for economic development, and they're doing some strategic planning and that type of thing. And I was just at a meeting where they're continuing on with that work. And also we had Dr. Illich with Southeast Community College as one of our speakers, and of course there's some exciting things that they're doing, and you know, I think trying to stay really in touch with the communities that have the college presence, and as you know, they're doing some community outreach work with some more locations around the Southeast Community College area. So that was good, and then we spent quite a bit of time promoting Manufacturing Day. We had three companies here that participated in that. We also had, Precise Fab, World Lawn, and Neopco here in Beatrice. But we had Industrial Made out of Cortland that paired up with Precise Fab. And then we also had Raglan Automation out of Pickerel that paired up with Neopco for that day. And so we did quite a bit of promotion and work on that. And we just like to continue to see that grow over the next years. And in one of the thoughts with that, of course, is to for these businesses to open up their doors, let the public know really what manufacturing is about these days, but also I think just to continue to make more of an effort to connect with the educators and the students in our area. So, we'll continue to work on that with that group of folks. Also, we did some planning, as you know, entrepreneurship, working with small businesses is part of what we do. We did quite a bit of planning with the Southeast Community College Entrepreneurship Center and some other resource providers to do some workshops, and we've had those ongoing. We started those in September, later in September, and we just had one, I think it was our fourth one last night. And we've got a core group of folks that have attended. We have different people that attend different ones, and that's fine. They don't all have to be the same, but it's just amazing. Every time we get those folks together, we see how some of the small business ideas that someone has, someone else is already doing something that would be complementary. So we see a lot of synergies happening. Last night, I know Diane with Diane's Dresses in Wymore came, and then we have a couple gals that are working on and they already have their business up and going for a cake business. And so there again, Diane hadn't met them, and so it was good because she gets questions all the time about what other services there may be for wedding cakes and that type of thing. So I know we had that planned from 6:30 to 8 last night, and I left at about 8:35, and there are people still chatting away and working on things. So hopefully some of these will, you know, they might be in-home businesses, but a couple of them are looking at some downtown business ideas too. So that's good. And that's just something I'd really like to have everyone help with, getting the word out if there's ever any need on small business assistance, that we can, you know, that we can connect those resources and try to help them along. In fact, I'm meeting with one of the businesses, has been there every night with our workshops, and I'm meeting with them personally later on today to work on business planning. So they're really sticking with it and working really hard to get it done. So we're trying to do everything we can to help them. Wanted to mention, I know John's been involved with the Blue Springs Wymore Fund Development Group, and that's, I know we meet tonight too. So they've decided to be an affiliate with the Nebraska Community Foundation, and you know, the whole idea there is to gather up some philanthropic funds in the Wymore Blue Springs area and continue and work on some development. So we have some private funding to help with that. I guess another thing we did, going back to our before we had our business recognition event, we also worked on our member investor information, and so we have had some private investment come in to engage, and that's continuing on. I'd really like to, trying to push that a lot this quarter, and by the end of the year have, you know, even a little bit larger fund with more members. I have brought along for you if you haven't seen those, but there are, I can pass these around. Take one if you'd like. But just again, our information on our member investor level. So we will take individuals and businesses of all sorts, and it's been amazing. Folks that have stepped up to the plate that, you know, I didn't know would necessarily be interested, and it's been really good. And I hopefully that continues to be that way. So, any questions that you have? Those are just some highlights of things that we've been working on. Of course, we have ongoing inquiries. We haven't seen as much inquiry come out of the Department of Economic Development lately, but there's some other private inquiries that continue on, and some positive things happening. I know there was a couple businesses that closed, but right away those employees were snatched up by some sort of complementary businesses. That's something we always watch. That, of course, we don't like doors closing, but if people can find opportunities beyond that, that's a good thing too. So, okay.
With all the changes in the directorship of Nebraska Economic Development Group, are you still having some communication with the individuals that are in charge?
Sure. Yes. We do have a Southeast representative, and that was a relatively new, we had someone in that position, and then they did a little transitioning, and there's a new person there. So we've met with that person, and then the one that was in the position has been helping along, because we actually have had some project dealings with them, and so they have stuck right with us. That really, they try to make it so it's pretty seamless, you know. Good. So that's not too bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate your support, and of course, anytime you have questions, thoughts, ideas, I'd really welcome your input. So, okay, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Entertain a motion to put a report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Vote. Thiemann. 7-0. Next up on the agenda, Gus, present quarterly report for Sheriff's Department, Jail, and Courthouse Security.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Thanks, sir.
While he's passing it out, two things real quick. Like, we have the computer up and running. I hope you got a thank you note in your packet the last time, and it's working better than we thought, and it really helps us do our job, so we appreciate you doing that. The second thing, on the 14th, we had an hour's training with the employees, and that went rate. Got a lot of positive feedback on that, and it gave us an opportunity to test the courthouse systems as well. So we appreciate you letting us do that as well. We have the second quarter statistics at the screening station. We'll be going over those real quick. Like, we were staffed at 62 days. We had 2,872 patrons go through. That's patrons. That's not attorneys or social workers. That's about 46 people a day. We had the 703 cell phones to the floor, 101 cutting, stabbing instruments, 7 canister of pepper spray or mace, 2 tasers, and a handcuff key. We arrested 7 people for outstanding warrants, including a felony warrant out of Missouri, served 3 civil process papers. 15 people were remanded into custody. That means the judge puts them into our custody. We escorted, helped corrections escort 6 inmates to court. We found a syringe in a woman's restroom, and it tested positive for methamphetamine. An inmate acted out in court, and was Judge Porcelain, who is a very patient man, gave him 120 days for contempt of court, because he kept running his mouth. And he told us to take him out of this courtroom, but I wanted to see how many days he would get. But it ended at 120. We were asked to watch one of the offices had a problem with an angry patron, and they said that he was going to be coming back. And so he did come back, but we were standing right outside and had no issues. And then we also did a courthouse-wide fire drill that went without any issues. So
how do you recognize a felony from Missouri that show up here? I mean, it's not somebody you'd know, I guess. How do you?
We're given a court docket, and we go through NCGIS, and we go do a records check.
Okay.
Prior to court. So that's how we know people have warrants for their arrest. On this one, we were also told that he was going to be showing up and that there was a warrant out of Missouri. So we knew ahead of time that he was going to be here.
Because you may be familiar with some people, but how do you...
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
They come in with a pocket knife, they have a pocket knife, but the guy's not going to be holding a sign up when he comes in.
Yeah.
When do you do that? When do you go through and look all these people up? Because, I mean, you found a lot of people that had warrants and other things. Is that something you do in downtime here to find out who is coming?
Now we have, at the screening station, we have a laptop computer. So that morning, between 8 o'clock and when people start showing up, I can quickly go through the docket and check. That way I have a fresh idea of, you know, in case you get a fresh warrant. But we do it religiously every day before.
Nice job on that. Like I say, you told us before you were catching people that had been
right,
avoiding being caught.
Yeah, that's right.
When you say religiously, is that what the pastor does to check to see whether we're being religious?
It's what my pastor tells me.
Okay, all right. Okay, just on the check.
Okay.
No, it's not denominational, Danny. Just
any questions? All right. I'll see you in 3 months. Thank you.
Thank you, General.
Hi, good morning. I'm going to fill in for Lieutenant Shepherdson. He's under the weather today, so we'll start with the second quarter reports for the jail. We'll start with mail-in bookings, was 140. We had 48 females booked in. 103 were felonies. 183 were misdemeanors. 90 were miscellaneous or other. The sheriff's office brought in 155. The police department had 53. Weimar Police had 3. Nebraska State Patrol had 2. Nothing from other agencies. We had 19 alcohol-related offenses or arrests. Our average day population was 18, so that held about what it was the last quarter. Average outside hold population, we had a high of 8 with a low of 2. We had no income from outside prisoner holds. We made $555 for income for fingerprinting individuals. Nothing from inmate phone usage. Commissary income was $1,413.94. Spent outside prisoner holding was $855.94. Our general care for emergency medic was $15,724.46. Nothing for vision. $216 for dental, with a total of $15,940.46 for medical care. Moving on, second quarter for Sheriff's Office. Calls for service was 1,368. We had 69 accidents, 92 citations, 217 warnings, 264 arrests, 306 civil process papers were served, 101 arrest warrants were served. We earned $2,643 on fees earned. Mileage earned was $3,850.59. We generated $10 from copies being made. No income on distress warrants collected in full, and none for distress warrants on partial pays. Talent inspections were $2,990. Patrol units driven was about 74,613 miles. Patrol units driven for transports was 2,846. Money reimbursed for grants, none this quarter. Meth labs were none. We had 11 drug violations, 130 reserve miles, 21 reserve deputy hours given to us. We had 224 billing checks, and out of that, we had 5 open doors were found. So, any questions? Huh?
Are they closed?
What?
Are they closed?
The doors?
Yeah.
The businesses?
Yeah.
They were.
I guess I got a question, not more a question, an observation there. From the first quarter to the second quarter there, outside prisoners' holdings was only $1,855. That we didn't get bills in, or we just didn't have many outside prisoners?
That's just might not had.
That's not many at all.
No, it's not bad. I think I looked this morning, I think we have 5 out right now.
About so. Now, but that at five at $50, that's $250 a day. But that this here.
Now, it could. I'm guessing by second quarter, I'm sure we've got our billings in by now.
You would have for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that far back. Sometimes they're all pretty religious in getting that invoice into us. Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had anything. The lowest one we've had here otherwise was about that $27,000 the quarter before. When you look up above, we had $120,000 in 2013. We haven't had anything. At $1,800.
You think maybe that's a typo, Gus?
Yeah, that's my question.
I don't know. It could be. It could. It'd be wishful thinking if it was correct. But I'd have to double check on that, Myron. I can do that.
You double check on that because I would believe $18,000, not $1,800.
That was you're talking about outside holds, right?
Yeah. Gus, that's like Don was just pointing out. You look at the miles driven for transports. First quarter was 2,400, and then 2,800 in the second quarter. So, wouldn't you?
2,428.
I'll bet that's a typo of some sort.
It could be 18. I'll double check the record.
Sounds good, though.
It does sound good. Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? I don't think we're that lucky, but I'll double check it.
I've been told by someone who didn't mind me even using his name as a former deputy, but he said that at least one of your deputies has citations stacked up on his desk from back in 2014 that have never been filed. And several things like that relative to those issues, and I certainly would like to know what's going on.
No, because I'd be getting calls from him if that was the case, because those people are going to be coming to court, and if citation not turned into him, and about 4 to 6 weeks he got appear in court, he'd know about it. So they'd be calling me. That's an accurate statement.
Danny, one of the things, and I'm just guessing on this thing, we've got open investigations, both Sheriff's Office, PD, and State Patrol, that I know of at least two that date back to 2014. That's not saying that, I mean, I can't say much more than that, but they're out there. Now, if there's a ticket issued, just what Gus says, they have to put down a date that you appear in court. And if that person shows up on Tuesday morning to appear in court and they didn't have a ticket down there, the phone call goes straight to our office, then we run it down and see what happened. So if the citations, some of that's a matter of the language. So there could be reports sitting on somebody's desk that they're actively working on. I know when John left, he had several active investigations going.
Still going.
That other officers are picking up, and we're still working on them.
Okay.
But traffic ones, that would
just guess not happen.
And find out why.
Yeah, traffic ones won't be there that long because they got to appear in court, and then they're going to know there's not a ticket. So.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Any other questions?
The 53 people, Beatrice, brought into the jail, how much did you charge to process and hold them?
Well, nothing. The chief and I have talked briefly on it. They think by statute they don't have to. Jails usually have to accept. But like I told them, there's nothing that says the city and county can't have MOUs. And I'm looking right now at the problem I've had in the past is you have to have what they call a PC, probable cause. You bring somebody to jail, I have to have something knowing that's a valid arrest. Well, most officers want to bring that probable cause back to me later after we've accepted custodial care. And that's where I'm uncomfortable doing this much longer, because then if those people end up doing something themselves, it's an issue for the county. So I'm trying to get it where those have to be handed in when they bring them in, the fresh arrest. I know it's going to be, I'm not going to be a lot of people's best friend, but there have been times we accepted custodial care, and then once we get a PC, there's things on their red flags that we should have kicked them out for just mental. But on the admission form, everything's no. So those are things I'm just trying to work through, and it's no different issues than the other jails having, but just, we're starting to crack down a lot more just because of the problems we're having. Mental health is a real issue for us. There was a contract drafted, though, Eric, presented a long time ago to look at, and I just think it just kind of just got put off the side and never really ever thought about it. But it was there, and we discussed it. Roger's dollar amount was a little higher than mine was, but you know, is an option to look at anyway, and still might have to be talked about.
Where does that come from? Does that come from your office to the city, or does that go from your office to us and then to the city?
You mean as far as a contract?
If you would want to
contract in place. I'd probably draft something up with Roger's help, and then committee would start with one committee, and they look at it and bring it board for discussion. And then if they want to pursue that, then they probably go down and talk to Tobias or the chief or something like that.
Heard you. You know, you talked to me about that the one time, how that's a pretty big expense. And
it is.
And jail expenses, I mean, you're bound by so many rules.
There a lot
are
of rules.
Plenty of expenses that go with those rules.
Yes, there are many. Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, it's one of those something we need to talk about it. A lot of the arrests from the PD that are housed over there are state statute violations, which we get those. So, you know, there's not too many people for dog at large that are jailed that I'm aware of.
Occasionally, rarely, but they do, yeah.
Well, on the mental health issues, you're working with 3 and 5 systems and doing the APCs and what have you.
Absolutely, yeah. We're working through that and through TASC. You're Arnold Rivington. I don't know if you know probably Arnold,
yes.
Too. Very closely with it, trying to do what we can. That's why we're trying to work on that telemed-type program where we do a lot of that. Instead of them coming down and having trips all the time, we probably do a lot right there in a professional area we have. They can do it on video and discuss things. And
that's fairly new, isn't it?
That's pretty new.
How's that working?
Well, a little bit we've tried so far, it's just been pretty good. I know a couple of agencies, I know Buffalo County, they've taken an extreme to where they have it for doctors even, to actual doctors. And they'll do a lot on the video. And if it's something they have to have, they'll script it and prescribe it for them right there. If it's something minor, instead of going down the clinic and stuff. So it takes a time for all the counties to get involved, because there's a little expense involved with that, obviously. But it does, I think, save. The sheriff there was very pleased with how it's turned out on that. So they've been going probably for a year or two on theirs.
When I saw your new van outside, too, I thought, in my mind, this was a minivan with some type of slide in it. I didn't realize this was a full-size transport van.
Full-size.
Brian showed me a little bit. You can separate like a male and a female prisoner, so that should give you a lot of versatility there, too.
It does. I just come back last week and got back in the middle of the night from Grand Junction, Colorado, drove all night with it. It worked pretty well. Did all right, so a lot better than a minivan and not much partition, so.
I just want to go back to the mental health issue again. I think it's been pointed out all across the country as you see the front page issues and the TV issues of people killing other people, and it's mental health, mental health, mental health. And we have those issues here, and we can't assume this just happens in the cities. They happen in Beatrice and Gage County, and we need to be aware and do what we can to improve mental health services for individuals and identify them and get them help. And I just think it's very important. We do not forget that as a board. We do not forget that as our sheriff's department.
And there's the last couple of conferences we've been at. They really hit hard on mental health.
Yes.
They just realized it is an epidemic across the country. It is. So.
And we saw it in our NERMA courses, our presentations. Yep. It's the same thing.
Exactly right. It's an issue, and it's a big expense, but I think it's a cheaper expense this side versus something happening that's on this side, because there's always those attorneys waiting in line to try to get that extra dollar or two out of you. So it's something we're working on. Again, you're running in trouble with the training you try to do for them, and then trying to keep in mind the budget you have to train with them and stuff. So it's a balancing act, but Roger's one of the good guys. Don't point at him like that. Okay. It's his buddies.
I was going to pile on, but I didn't mean to say it.
I thought he was equating mental health.
So, yeah, it is.
I don't think there's any issue on mental health in the county attorney's office that I'm aware of.
Well, some days I question that. But.
Beyond the end of some of those phone calls, you'd think otherwise.
Good deal. Okay, entertain a motion to take in record sheriff and jail and courthouse report.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote 7-0. Thank you, Gus.
Yes.
But I think you just will stay there, because next up we're going to have discussion on proposed jail project, and I guess I don't know if that's worded right or not. We didn't know how to word that, but
discussion, I guess.
Discussion more than anything. Monday, you brought to the committee a thought, and
well,
you talk about that a little bit, and then we'll have discussion. Right. Bye. We wanted one other thing, quick. We wanted that here instead of somewhere where we had just maybe three committee members, and then not all the board being informed. When Gus brought this forward, kind of we thought this is. Maybe a direction, not a direction, but however we go with the jail, we'd like everybody involved.
We had our annual jail inspection in August, and I was walking around with the inspector, and I don't know why, they never really caught this before, but I took him outside, we're walking around, and he was questioning what this far garage was, the old sheriff's personal garage was when they had living quarters here. And he said, well, he went inside and looked at it, and he said, you know, this would be laid, this is laid out right now to where you could really do something with this. And maybe change that into, because right now it's evidence storage for us, which we still need. But he said if you would convert that into a receiving and booking in area, he said you could probably have some of the issues with your mental health that we're talking about, have some cells in there so you're watching 24/7, eyes are on. That's where the new jails are right now. And if they're violent or whatever the case may be, you're there with them all the time watching them instead of having to go check them so often. So I talked committee, and I told them I'd see if I could find an architect, at least look at it for free, and I found one. Now, they made a trip down here a few weeks back and looked at it and then got back to me sometime back, and they thought they could do a bare bones with that space, you know, a little bit of office area for the correctional staff and three holding cells for around $500,000 to $750,000. And it's set up to where you still pull into the Sally Port where we are now. They just go into the side door into the new area. If they bond out, they go right out the existing door that's on the east side right now. If they don't, they get booked in. They're watched there. If they meet our criteria and there's no problems, they go right back into the facility. If they don't, there's issues, they just stay right there in one of those cells. And we have staff that watches them until we get situation squared around. So I thought, well, you know, it's like I mentioned before, it could have been a three-phase. It could be the first phase. second phase at some point in time, you tear down the old living quarters and some little buildings starting from the sheriff's office side, and then eventually again a third phase would maybe be the jail itself. But after Myron asked that question, is that Sunday or Monday, I got to think about that, would be obligated to the next two phases? Well, probably really not if nothing ever happened on that. This is the biggest issue I have right now in the entire facility, I would say, is we can't watch those people 24/7 that have issues. I can't get them all kicked out because it doesn't work that way. But if they're intoxicated, if they're belligerent, combative, harmful to themselves, whatever the case may be, at least we have the ability to sit there and watch them and just have our station there instead of the middle of the jail and just leaving the booking area and making periodic checks on them. So at least he said, I can't get it more than between that range, but at least it gives something for a talking point. You wouldn't have to have a bunch of money for bond issues, and you could budget maybe a little more appropriately on something like that. But I think it'd be a starting point for us anyway to look at it and have more discussions on it down the road probably. But that, like I say, and then it arises the issue then where I put my storage for evidence. But I guess this is a little higher priority right now, I guess, when it comes to possibly saving a life, if it would help. You know, Gary asked me if it's guaranteed. I said, no, I can't guarantee it, but it certainly helps when you have somebody eyes on all the time. So, because like one sheriff told me that I have a contract with that is real picky on who he takes. He's turned down a few for me already. Is the sheriff owns that grand jury, and that's not something you want to own. So he's kicked a few out, so I'm not going to take him. And we've had a few words on that, and we just move on because it's his jail. You know, it's just the way it is. But so it's out there just, you know, for discussion. They drew no plans. I just simply said I want something bare bones on how many cells you can get in. They thought they could probably put three, which I think John had asked if that would be additional holding cells. That's a possibility. If we're getting full, we could stick more in there. If we have fresh arrests come in, issues, we have to have that for observation. They move them out or just move people around, but that would save a couple bucks probably throughout the year. So,
would these be open like bars or
no?
Or glass?
Most of them are enclosed. They'll have a lot of plexiglass right in front, so they can see them from the booking station. And they'll have maybe a bench or a little bunk, and they'll have a toilet. And usually, there's not much privacy in those areas because of the situation you have in the commandment. There's no hooks. Absolutely nothing. It's pretty much four walls, bare bones, so they can see what's going on, and they can't do anything themselves unless just bang themselves, you know, with their head against the wall. You just deal with that as you can. You know, put a helmet on them or restrain them best you can.
Do you have to stop them if they're trying to do that to themselves?
Excuse me?
You have to stop them themselves?
Yeah. We got to make the attempt because, it would not be good if we just let them continue on. We don't try. The problem sheriffs always face is jail staff are not mental health professionals, but it's getting more and more like that. It seems like they want it to be that way. I've had some take MedAid training, but I'm a little reluctant to do the certification because that rises to a whole new level then. If you certify in that and something messes up, you have nothing to back you. Here, you can say best faith effort, you know, type of thing, the way it is now, so... But, we try to make every attempt and that's what happens. If they're trying to harm themselves, you put a hood on them or a helmet and you strap on a backboard or do something. If they're real bad, we'll ship them off to the D&E, the penitentiary, which is confined medical infirmary, and then they have doctors and stuff on staff can handle it. It's just a less liability to spend $80-$90 a day than it is to try to deal with it here, and we're not set up for it, so...
And I guess I made the comment when Gus brought this forward. I made the comment something along the line that does this necessarily commit us to more phases down the road where you're actually going to build part of a jail or whatever? And that's why this board here, we've never really sat down and had the discussion what direction we're going to really head with the jail over there. We're going to just keep repairing it or all those comments. I know Matt threw some numbers together quick that day about if we just went and housed prisoners, didn't worry about our jail here so much other than just a holding cell basically, and housed prisoners somewhere else, and what from a numbers perspective what that would do, you know, what that would cost you or save a little bit. But I guess I not saying whether we want to do this or not, but if we do spend this amount of money, I feel that this board really ought to have a better handle on where are we going to be at in 5 years or 10 years on this jail, you know, because that's not just going out and buying a car or two this year.
Well, I've been watching pretty closely. Dodge County contracted with Saunders some time back, and their jail was, I thought, was a very nice jail. But I don't know what the issues were. But anyway, they've contracted, and they still have staff there, and they're transporting them back and forth to Saunders. And I talked to the sheriff in Dodge, and they don't know how long they're going to go doing that. I know jail standards wasn't real fond of that arrangement. And I know it's costing some money, so there might be some point in time where they're pulling back the reins on that maybe and revisiting keeping it where they're at. Because they had 40 or 50 beds, I think, in Dodge. A lot newer facility than I think we had here. So although it sounded good at the time, I think Saunders extended, you know, an effort out there to say, we got a new facility, which they built a huge facility. They want to get people coming in. And now I think things kind of settled down and starting to see what the actual costs are. So if you're ever at the NAICS or conferences and you know any of the commissioners from Dodge, I'd suggest please talk to them and kind of see what their input is on that, where they're with that, because I know the sheriff was iffy on it, I guess. So
just in the context of what was presented in the detention facility, and I don't know the legality of if a outside agency picks up a somebody that needs to be booked, put in jail. If there isn't a local jail, whose responsibility is it for that transport, and then who would then be responsible for the custody of that?
If a county that there is no jail in that county. I think out west they contract with their counties, and then, if I remember correctly, I think depends on the contract, Matt, I'm sure, but I know patrol, they've gone as far as 60 to 80 miles to lodge somebody if it's in a county they don't have a jail. The sheriff's office, I assume, would do the same thing. Now, how police departments would handle that, they might do themselves, or the county might contract that out and they'll do themselves.
Well, that would be my question. Is hypothetically, if Gage County didn't have a jail and Wymore picked somebody up and had to drive them to Saline County or Jefferson, who then becomes the custodian financially of that? Is it Wymore? Because they're the ones that arrested them or her and took her there. Who becomes a custodian of that? Because as I look at 2.5 years worth of quarters here, roughly 30% of 30 to 25% of those folks who are picked up come from outside agencies. So in the context of who's responsible for these folks being picked up, the county is paying for it all because of the way that when they're picked up here. So we have an operational cost for the jail of about $878,000. And so
the city, I know, they take people directly to Lincoln for different things. And they bypass the county completely.
Do we get the bill for that then, or do they get the bill?
Beatrice pays
like
for it.
Beatrice pays all folks. Yeah.
And Bruce has done on a couple things. He doesn't like sometimes that I'm going to do things here, so they'll go ahead. And he made arrangements the last time I knew anyway that they'd take him up to the detox center, say, for instance. If they test too high on BAC, I won't take them here. It's just they can pass out and again pass away. Then he gives them a voucher for a taxi ride back to Beatrice. If he'd done that in the past. I don't know if he does that on a routine basis or not, but that's how he got around. Because I know they weren't happy about that, but I just, you know, we're getting so many people coming in with high BACs, and we get 3 and 3.5, you know, that's not good. So I've lowered it, I think, to 2.5. But I'm sure there's still those times that they're doing that. So,
and just again, just to go on and reiterate what we talked about on Monday, based on what we talked about, the average daily population of prisoners being 30, and I figured so, times 365, roughly 11,000 prisoner days, and just divide that by the budget, our cost, all in costs, are about $79, $82, or $80 a day, and we can contract for 30 to 50. Quick simple math is you take off that off the budget off the take $550,000 off the budget of $878,000, you get down to $328,000 that if we didn't have a jail, and then that number becomes bigger because then the responsibility of those other agencies picking those people up is the responsibility of those other agencies. If it's not, and again, I don't know the statute on that. But
well, I think, Matt, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Roger, I think once they'd have custodial care and everything up until that agency or the jail accepts custody. I think once they're gone through the bond and arraignments, is that not going to go back on the county then? That doesn't stay with if they've gone through court. No, I mean, if they don't bond out. Yeah, once they hit arraignment, isn't that kind of kicking back the county or not?
Well,
at some point it would, wouldn't it?
Well, that's, again, the court then, everybody assumes jurisdiction at that point. Up until that point, the court hasn't accepted that jurisdiction.
Right. But after that point in time, I'm saying if they're still staying in jail, that's not going to, like Matt's saying, that wouldn't fall on the wine war. That'd fall on the county, wouldn't it?
Once that they're housed over here after the bond set,
Well, housed someplace, or another jail.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Who gets the bill for that then?
They're going to be our.
They're ours.
Under statute.
So they're our responsibility.
No matter what.
Basically, if you look at that, the idea there is our office represents the state of Nebraska. The city attorney does not represent the state of Nebraska, and that's nothing against them. That's just the way the structure's set up.
But you would so pull off the, whoever the arresting agency would be. So, but at least you wouldn't have the transportation expenses because that's on that arresting agency. To
initially, yes.
But the other thing when we talk about doing something with the jail is the other thing is the operational expense, and that was one thing that we really didn't talk about last time with the jail is that the operational costs were going to double. The minute the doors opened on that thing.
On a new one.
And all we were talking about was a capital expense, but there was the operational expense on top of that, which would have been outside the bond, which would have been on the general obligation of the tax levy. So I think that, when we look at, I just wanted to illustrate that, if we close the doors on this thing, there's still going to be costs out there. But if we just transport alone, we're now in the transport business and not in the booking and housing business. And then you weigh the value on that, and what can you do with that $300,000+? Versus putting a bond out there where you're going to pay $500,000 to $800,000 a year to pay this thing off, depending on how big you want that thing to be.
Well, Seward, they just built that, or they're building that really nice new jail courthouse facility, and we were just visiting about that. They had anticipated operations costs because it was going to be bigger. Doesn't sound like. They missed it. They missed the mark on it. The construction's more. The operations are more.
Figures.
Theirs is a lot bigger dollar amount up front, which we didn't realize at first in initial discussion because they're redoing courtrooms, everything, all in-house. Mm-hmm. But just the operations itself is going to be way higher than what they anticipated.
Well, and we have to be mindful. I'm still trying to watch. I think it's back on the burner again. They're trying to figure out how to deal with this overcrowding for the state side, and they're still looking at allowing the judges to sentence them up to 2 years in county jails. That will make a difference, a big difference.
Huge difference.
Huge difference.
It was discussed last year, and I got it's going to be on a hot burner this year.
Yeah, it will be.
I mean, that's.
Have you talked to Senator Baker at all, Denny, on that, and where that's at?
Not on that.
Okay. I know it's in the forefront, very much so. So.
And if and when that happens, how do you think that'll affect our contract rates with?
Well, it could, depending on the size of the jails, like Saline County, they have about 95 to 100 beds. The feds fluctuate, so if it doubles, say, for instance, my population over here, I think they could still have room for some because their population on their rest is nothing compared to ours.
Right.
Dawson County is similar size facility or maybe a little bigger. I don't think they hold feds. So I don't think it affected a lot, but as soon as I say that, then they get influxes from somewhere else. And I'm sure I haven't heard what they're planning on doing. If they're planning on having some money set aside to pay the counties back from the state, they tried it before and gave $35,000, I think, what they had for a pool of money for the entire state. Well, that money, we all submitted claims. It was, it was just gone in a heartbeat. It was a joke, So if they do this, I'm sure the Sheriff's Association and some of the county boards are really going to make sure there's some money there coming back to the coffers for the counties to absorb that, I'm sure.
And our contracts with the other counties allow them to take a higher-paying rate from another entity and not take ours.
They can take what they want, and that's why I had a discussion with Sheriff Moore over here. Apparently, his protocol is his nurse, he's got a full-time nurse, pretty much decides who comes in and stays, and if they're on certain kind of medication, they don't let them in. And so that frustrated me because then I had to find another place to put him, and because that's where I got with Dawson, and they'll take anybody and come get him. So it's been a pretty good deal there. But
short of extremely dangerous people than dangerous criminals, we may have to start leaving people alone so that we can get our populations down.
But my point about trying to delve into the operational costs and transportation is I don't think any one option is the complete solution. I think it's a combination of building something newer at some point that is more modern and allows for the mental illness and the observation of those external forces that come, but also accepting the fact that what is the total inventory or capacity to deal with prisoners in the state of Nebraska, and or do we overbuild the inventory because we want to have a jail and they want to have a jail, and then you've got all these empty cells, or do you build something and assume or accept the fact there's going to be some transportational costs? Because it's hard to say that right now, you know, almost half or almost, you know, we can spend transporting people versus housing them. And I think it's a combination. I don't think you know, if some other taxpayer is already paying for the capital expense, let that county pay for it, and let's pay for the operational expense. And don't – I think it's a big issue, but it's a combination of a solution. It's no one way that's going to fix it.
I don't – Matt, that's a very, very good point, because I don't think 99% of the people in this county or in this state have any idea of the level of cost of transportation versus housing. And I didn't. I mean, you've taught me something that I guess I'd never been aware of, and this is huge. It's a huge issue to deal with.
It is, and then you. That's why, not knowing where it was going to go, is why I thought I was going to get that type of van we got, because it was interesting. The person I took with me, one of the corrections officers, he said, you know, Sheriff, he said, how much more professional I feel playing in a facility with something like that versus a minivan. And so it does make it, and it's a lot more secure as well. And I think then maybe even likes
it
better.
It's a good looking unit too.
So it worked well. And the only thing I have really left on it is just going to have to do a DVD another year down the road or so when I get the money for that. Because now, as soon as I was getting this project done, then of course they had that death in that transport van wherever it was down south, and it wasn't recorded. Well, mine are recorded. Mine we can observe it. We just can't record it. So I'm going to try to get that in there as well at some point in time. But
now, this is something I really do always talk to you about, leaving people alone. And, you know, when I need you, I call you and say, hey, here's a problem. Does that ever really come into effect here? We've got the highest prison population in the world, you know, per capita here in the U.S. Our jails, you're constantly faced with new things you said you never had to before. Does it ever get to a point where we say to your deputies, we're going after dangerous people, robbers, the methamphetamine labs, the things like that, where it's the danger to the other people, and you know, the victimless crime, the things that aren't hurting anyone else, we don't pursue that as much, and we do go after the dangerous.
Well, if you read the headlines in your papers, that's the number one issues in the country, is how should we deal with people who are arrested for intoxication, for DUI, and how should we address these people versus others as far as our capacity on prisons, our capacity in jail cells. It's the number one headline.
Well, it is, and you know, and as you well know, we've had about 7 deaths in the last couple of weeks, and I can't speak to all those because they're still currently probably under their investigation, but in the past I can tell you we've had a lot of accidents where people have been killed because of drunk driving. And so to you, maybe it's not a big deal, or the public, you know, but to me it took an oath. I have to try to protect everybody else sitting here on the board that might be out driving on the highways. And so how do you tell deputies don't do anything with those guys because they're just a drunk driver, don't worry about it? Because it does come back, and I've seen counties get sued on that because they let them go, had a wreck down the road, that came back in court, and they lost and sued the agency that didn't even do anything with them. So
we stop them, 22. Take them somewhere, drop them off.
I don't think he's going to like that too well. The old days are gone.
What?
Years ago, they used to take them down to Kansas and drop them off.
But, I mean, what if we did? I mean, I've never thought of that, but I mean, what if we would? Hey, you know what? You're borderline. Instead of filling your docket, instead of filling our jail, we're going to take you. Where do you want me to take you within so many miles? Or,
but again, your constituency wants the laws enforced. Yep. If the legislature wants to quit passing this around, they'll step up and say, you know what, we're not going to have incarcerations for these crimes. People, you're just going to have to, you know, I know what you'll do, you'll load another gun. And that's fine. But a lot of them like to have their job, so they're going to keep passing laws, be tough on crime, and then say, guys, we don't have any room for you. So we're going to filter that down to the counties. And again, I'll get some hate mail for this one, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about this jail, and somebody said, what are we going to do in the next 5 years? What are you going to do in the next 2 years? If that comes down next year from the legislature, you give people for up to 2 years sentences. Is he set up for that? And I'm just posing the question. I don't know what all the standards are when you start housing over a year that we currently do. And on the same side of that coin, they're saying, oh, no, we're not going to do all this sentencing, class four felonies. The presumption is probation. I'll give you a whole, you know, off the record, I'll tell you what I think of that one. It's not protecting the public, pure and simple. And that's a philosophical difference. You guys are stuck in the middle of all this trying to deal with the current problem.
That just puts you in a terrible spot, though.
Well, it doesn't. So, you know, if they don't test high to get arrested, we do make arrangements for people to come pick them up.
But even not testing high is so low now. I mean, it's we try to protect ourselves so much through laws and rules, and you guys aren't security. You guys are there so we can call when there's a real problem. I guess if there's time to hassle, I always think if there's time to hassle people, we have too many people. You guys have major things to take care of. And then we put all these other things on top of that to try to make each other feel good. It doesn't work. People need to take care of themselves some and not call you for everything, or at least free you up so that you're available when there is a problem.
We're getting a little bit I appreciate the comments, but we're getting a little bit off the issue, or the one here what we're going to discuss I don't even know how to call it a proposed project yet or whatever. Yeah. Gus brought it more for a discussion than anything. And part of the reason we wanted to have it with the board here is so that everybody could get their thoughts, or as we go forward, come up with thoughts. Is this a project that we, as a county, as a board, would like to consider doing? And that's something that in the next 6 months we really should decide on.
Yeah.
We really should. It's not something that we're going to kick down the road for two more years. And then what direction is our jail, the facility we have over here, what direction does this board really like to go with it?
And I think the Finance Committee has some input on that also,
yes,
on how we do it. So,
well, and if you want to have
lap, Mr. Bauman.
If you have jail standards come down sometime, I'm sure if you get an advance notice, they'd come down to meeting and talk and give their input and stuff, because they're far more professional whatever on that stuff than I am. But that was something from them that they thought might be a foot in the door, relatively cheap,
yes,
to help us on the issues we're having with death. So,
Gary?
What Gus has brought up is more or less a phased project. And you got to say that it's a phased project, because we're not going to build something like that for $500,000 to $800,000 and not continue on and do something after it. I mean, it seems silly to throw that kind of money at a holding facility that's going to be a temporary deal that is off of the rest of your facility. I mean, it's on the other side of the Sally Port. It's not really a part of your facility. I'm just being straight up here. This phased project idea is something that we discussed as the jail steering committee, Denny, myself, Matt, and Gus, and I think Deputy Klaus was there also. There was, I think, five of us, and we kind of just initial discussion, and this is one of the things we discussed, and I think it was one of the things that we thought was probably had one of the most legitimacy is trying to do a phased project, but actually what we'd said was start to the east and build back this way. This might be something that we could, I guess the thing I'm going at though is this board sitting here as it is today has 1 year left as it is. Some of us have 3 years that are going to be here. For us to set a project in place that's a phased project, it's going to take 5 or 10 years, like what you're talking about. If we're going to go that route, it's something that's going to have to go to a bond, because I don't think this board should be setting something in place that's going to affect the next board and the next board after that. Because you're sitting here saying, this is part of your budget for the next 10 years. And I think that if that's something we're going to do, it's something we should look to doing as a bond. I like the discussion. I'm glad that we had the discussion as we discussed Monday. Important that all seven of us are to get their input put in. But I think at this point, it's something that needs to be thrown back to a jail steering committee. And if that's, I think now you need to as the chairman, you need to reset that up, since that was something that we had with the last board. And I think it's something that if we want to continue to have law enforcement, finance, and building the grounds beyond that, that's fine, but I think that's something that you need to decide, Myron. So, I mean, I think it needs to go back there, and we need to come forward with something.
Yeah. And I think that's important, too. Depending on how this is going forward, depending on what direction that would go, is three cells enough? I mean, that may be something where, depending on what direction things are proposed to go, you may say, well, if that's the way we're going, three isn't enough. I need six here, or, you know, however it may be, but without knowing what's behind that.
Well, three was only what they thought they could put in the existing structure. Now, if you're doing something different like Gary's talking about, then that opens the doorway to do whatever you look at and discuss that way. And
well, and that was one of my other points, Gus, is that, okay, if we're going to do that, it needs to be part of the bigger plan. It can't just be something we're throwing together, and then 2 years down the road, it's going to be demolished because you're doing something else. So I guess that's. Thank you, Eric. That was something I forgot.
I'll agree with that. If you're deciding to go with a phase one, you need to have an idea or a thought or a process of where you're going to continue, because this isn't something that we want to spend and then in 5 years they come back, let's destroy the whole thing over there and build a brand new jail. You just put $500,000 out there that didn't get a lot of good.
Absolutely, no, very seriously. No. Where were we? Where are we? Where do we want to be? And you know, that as far as a plan.
I mean, unless somebody else has it, I am more than fine if you guys will do it again. If Matt Denny and Gary, I think you guys are the three committee chairmen that should be on that. Now, if one of you don't want to do it, speak up, and I will be on there otherwise, too, or if you don't have the time or whatever. But I want to throw it back on you three, because I think buildings and ground law enforcement, and I think definitely Gus, and he should be included in this also.
I think that's good. Gary and I have a problem with our time, but Matt has lots of time, so we don't have any problem.
No, I will put it back on you, three, to continue discussion and keep us updated and bring thoughts to the board, or have guests bring them to the committees and just keep having discussion.
Yeah, I guess the first action with that group that I'd like to take is ask Gus to go ahead and get some of these people in line to get together. And if you think we need to have the jail standards, if we need a representative, come down and talk with the three of us so that at this point, I think we really understand the jail standards because we've seen it so much. But if you think it's something that's helpful, then, I mean, I don't know what you two think, but if that's where we need to start, then let's get it moving. It's something we can't do what we did last year and meet one time and then not do anything more with it. No. We need to move forward if we're moving forward.
Do you want evenings or daytime? What are you looking at?
Probably easier evening for those guys. Maybe early evening or it's whatever you.
You back
I can
by
make
seven
my
usually?
Schedule.
Yeah. I'll call jail standard and see what works best for their. Maybe Danny Maycomber can come down. He's the chief in charge of the state inspection.
I don't know whether Baxter needs to be part of that or not from NERMA. I don't
might
know.
Encourage him to come down. Yeah,
he's might be good.
I don't think we need a rehash of.
No.
What a piece of junk.
No, we know
is.
That.
I mean, you know, we know what that is. But I think a lot of that's information. You know, what is the what? You know, I go back to an Alan Grell. I think sat in the same seat. What's the regional jail capacity? Do we know what's out there? What's the inventory? Do we know how much traction that's going to get? I think there's a lot of data out there that we probably need to collect before.
I think jail standards is a good one to tell you that. I know. I was surprised, Richardson County's building, I didn't think that ever happened because they were about ready to close their jail down. And they took over the old armory.
Yep.
And then they're going to have that for a portion of it and adding on addition to that. And they were trying to keep around $1 million. I can't hardly believe it,
no,
but good for
it's
them.
Up to four.
Well, okay, that sounds
around
better.
$4 million, yeah. And they're going to end up with 28 to 30
beds.
Beds.
Yeah. So.
But they're also a good, not a good part of it. Part of that is going to be used for other. It's going to be more of an open facility, like for their EMS
dormitory.
And
oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, some of their. I don't know exactly how they do their ambulance and all that stuff down there. They're using it for. Part of that facility, the armory, is going to be kind of remodeled in that project and used for other things for the county. So it's not just a jail. It's a little bit like Seward. They're doing other projects with it.
Well, unless there's somewhere else, we have our empty hospital building sitting up here, and we've talked about that, the mayor has, for Beth's use. But is there some way that we could use part of that in some way? And so, you know, there are other options.
Jails are so specialized, though. I mean, just the information you've given me, even if we could make something work, and we could make it work well, if it doesn't meet all the
standards.
Criteria, then...
Yeah. It'd be nice to use that, because the doctor's been asking me to buy that for a buck. But the professionals tell me it's cheaper to build from green space up than trying to renovate it. So I don't know. It'd be nice to use it, but...
I don't know either.
Because it's got a $100,000 sprinkler system they just put in it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jess. We'll continue that, and we'll see you guys get together and meet and come back to the board as often as you guys think necessary. Or, like I said, if you guys are going to have a meeting, somebody can't make it that night, give me a call or something, too.
Okay.
So I'll be glad to help out. But okay. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove lease agreement between City of Beatrice and Gage County for space to be used by probation. As you know, that lease agreement was up. We extended it only 1 year. Went down and visit with Tobias a little bit. Greg Butcher happened to be there. Everybody should have a copy of that. According to the email he sent me, the only changes that they had on this was they did increase the proposed changes, I'll say. Is they did add a 3% increase each year for this contract. This is a 3-year contract. We can have discussion today. We don't have to approve this. We can approve it in 2 weeks, too, and then go back to the city if there's something else or whatever.
3% is $400 a year. Just a little over a dollar a day.
Doesn't seem like much. I just wonder what that's based on, with given the available space downtown in the private sector.
In the past, it's always been pretty cheap what we're getting now.
Yeah.
How many feet are down there?
I don't have how many people
how many
are down there?
Feet? No, how many?
I don't know how many square. I don't know.
Square feet.
I don't know.
There's a lot, but there's a lot that's, you know, that big
wasted.
Area in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's
just the way it was built.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they have done some things to use more of it than what they originally did, but it's but there is still a lot of wasted space.
And Dave has been working with them. They did completely redo it. I don't know, it was either the men's or the women's. And when we were down there, he had a discussion with them again. They're going to work at redoing the other bathroom. Part of this contract is when we did visit about this wall, any remodeling like that comes back to us as a cost. Anything that is a fix-up or whatever, that we pay the first $500, and then the city stands the rest of that or whatever. But, for instance, putting a wall in, that's not a repair or whatever. That's considered remodeling. So,
I think you can certainly negotiate that, because that was when it first started.
Yeah.
And then that was a joint venture, and you know, to help, because they had the second floor that was empty. And they needed to remodel and stuff. So, we're a pretty good tenant. I don't think we've defaulted. I just throw that out because I know there are some things. As I looked over there, they're not required to do ADA compliance. That's our deal. And
no, well,
that elevator, I want to make sure that all of a sudden, if we'll think about it. If you got somebody on probation in a wheelchair and that elevator goes down, they're not worried about the elevator. And I'm just being practical. I mean, these are things I think we want to, okay, from a legal perspective, let's get it nailed down. Because, you know, it's a mutual benefit. I don't have any problem with that idea. And I know there's a lot of talk. We're going to have more probation officers, all that stuff. I got one juvenile officer that's handling Fall City to Geneva. And, you know, it ain't happening. And it's not nobody's fault down there. I'm just saying that this whole 561 scheme is slow to develop. And that's just a couple comments I'd make. I agree with Matt. You know, $400, we're not going to hassle over that. No. But when you start doing walls, and I certainly trust Davey, you know, are they going to have to redo heating and air conditioning? And you guys are probably up on that. I'm just asking the questions. If we got it covered, fine.
I don't know. You got to tell us if we've got it covered.
I'm just looking at this, and it's the same OMO, other than just change the money. And it all. My question is, I think we've proven to be a valuable part of this joint venture. And when it comes to what if this happens, who's going to pay for that? Because as you guys know, that elevator is not a fun thing to deal with.
Yeah. Well, I think Roger brings up a good point in that probably rental rates are not higher than what they were at that time. I guess I would be okay with these increases as long as we got something in there that covers the elevator or access to the second floor.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay. They, you know, because that's a big ticket item, and you know,
do we need to have Roger talk to Greg or somebody and see, you know, if we can get some of those things?
Well, I just think, you know, when you do a contract, and you know, we got plenty of time, they're not going to kick us out. You know, we could be a holdover tenant for a few years.
Well, why don't you take a look at it, and you can bring it back so we can have some discussion.
And again, you guys tell me anything. These are just items that, as I went through, and some of them, you know, Davey may already have covered, I'm not going to rehash anything you already covered. I'm just saying as a couple things as I looked, I'm like, this has come up in the past, and it's like, don't worry about it.
Well, I'd like
that's
to know
what we're supposed to do is
price per foot that we are paying. Maybe price per used foot instead of just price per foot. If there's a bunch of area that we don't use that's just there because they had nothing to do with it.
When you go down and look down there, if you've been up there, there's not a lot of area what they're not using. There's areas that they're not, but that one southeast corner, that's kind of all of a waiting area. So I don't know if you call it used or not. It's not necessarily used for an office, but it's going to be.
People come in there.
Part of what they want done is they want a wall around the staircase, but the wall will only be so high because part of the heating comes through and above there. That area then will be the holding for when they come in for testing.
And you can have 8, 10, 12 people come in all at the same time, and that's the question.
They're talking up to 20 at the same time because they've been doing somewhere between 50 to 80 people in the 2 or 3 hours in the morning. If what the state has mandated, if that all comes about, they're looking at up to 100 people during that time then for testing. So.
And it's one person doing the testing.
And that's one person doing it, yeah. So we will visit more. I'll visit with Roger some more and Dave, and just to make sure, and then we'll go visit with the city some more. That's why we had it here for everybody to look at and comment.
Hopefully with us doing them the service, renting some of their space and providing the service there, renting to us at a substantially lower rate than commercially available space, I would hope.
Okay. Something like a dairy barn, for Christ's sakes.
Okay.
I would say the opposite if I was there.
Okay, good. We are going to take, before we talk about the pictometry, we'll get Patty and we'll take a 5-minute break.
I think we'll
10:17 on the clock. We'll rejoin the meeting.
Next up,
we have discuss and approve or disapprove pictometry program, and we've been visiting with Patty here the last few days, and we're not ready to approve or disapprove anything like that. We've been visiting with the city, visited with Tobias, and then Doug Zuloff. We went down, John and I visited with Doug Zuloff down there Monday and saw a little bit of what pictometry, how they use it. They did do it already in 2001 and maybe 2007. They've done it twice. He explained a lot of different things for us. John and I gave Patty a list, or John basically gave Patty a list of things that she's going to visit with pictometry and get us a better quote, a better price on what we want or what we're looking for maybe. So before we ever vote on anything, we have a better understanding. Also, we believe that the proposal he gave us, he had on there each of the cities doing them at a different basically they've got 3, 6, 9 and a foot images, right, they do, and that he included all of the little towns, all the other towns, not the little towns, all the other towns in the county at this smaller rate. And John and I both thought that, and Patty too, that no, we as a county, we want to know what the whole county, outside of Beatrice, what that county would be at this foot rate. If the one of the cities would like 3-inch or a 6-inch, we'll visit with them and have that as an add-on before they take the pictures or whatever. Because yeah, that's an upgrade that cities really would benefit a lot more from than the county. Because from the county's perspective, all three of us felt we didn't need what Beatrice is getting for each of those little cities. Not little cities, each of the other cities, not little cities.
Right.
So,
and each of these small villages was a 6-square-mile segment that they were going to do with that higher, yeah, image, and they're not 6 square miles. I mean, at all.
Pictometry prices by what they call a section,
mm-hmm,
and the city of Beatrice was what, approximately 4. I don't know. There were 40 or 60 sections or something, because they price it by a section. So, and John happened to see on the map that each of these towns, well, you take a Virginia, even, yep, it was 6 sections. So you're paying that higher price for 6 of those for that city. Well, and that's where John, I'll credit John with it. He saw some of this, and so we directed Patty to go back and visit with him and get a better understanding of what that cost might be for the county, just on a 9-inch or a foot pixel for the whole county. And then if some of these cities, like Beatrice, if they want, you know, they're paying for that extra and stuff, and these other cities too. So we weren't aware of some of this stuff. We went down, and Doug showed us also how the city uses some of it. They can overlay all their water lines, and he showed us a lot of things that the city, for them, it's been really a benefit. It's a lot better than a Google Earth because they can get so much more detailed. But they're actually going to go from the 6-inch, what they have, down to the 3-inch because they want more detail yet. And everything, but as a county, we don't need a 3-inch one. That's.
I had somebody call me too. They said Fairbury has this. I don't know if it's Fairbury or Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were over there this last week, they said they use Google Maps more than they do the pictometry. Which I thought maybe that'd be something if you could maybe visit with them about too, see if that's.
But you don't do any, I mean, as far as Google Earth, what you're doing is you're just randomly looking at things. I mean, you're not just, you know, to find things like that, you're randomly looking. We would probably, with this pictometry, have parcel ID numbers and everything where we'd call everything up. It's a measuring tool for us on the outbuildings in the rural area and some of those, mm-hmm, places. The city of Beatrice, you know, is going to have all the Beatrice part of it. My biggest thing with pictometry is it's a tool to help us find things. Like I said, last year we did find 30 pivots with Google Earth. That was randomly going on and looking at different things to find those pivots. I wished I would have kind of seen what it did as far as what it brought in revenue-wise. I did not, like I said, with the employee, I did not replace because I don't feel I need another clerk in the office. I need somebody out into the field finding things that have happened with the different parcels. And I know that there's things out there that we need to pick up. I think, you know, for a Board of Equalization, we need to make sure that people are paying their fair share. We have ones that come in and are very good about, you know, telling us when they do something, and then those that, you know, and we're all human. I mean, you're not going to probably run in and tell me if you've, you know, put up a shed or, you know, you're supposed to get a permit. And I brought to the fact that Dan had found, you know, 16 buildings that were not reported. And, you know, one thing we did talk about with this is to get the price down. It's not hard for my office to go into Liberty or Barnston or places like that in a day's time or 2 days' time. You know, those communities, especially Ellis, Rockford, they're not hard communities to go into and do very quickly. Dan's retiring in March, and so we've got another, you know, the perfect solution would to have a full-time appraiser on staff constantly that knows the county all the time, you know, that's out in the field, knows, you know, and he knew that because he's born and raised here. He was a realtor. I mean, he's had a lot of experience that way. So, you know, for him to go out and measure my buildings and do that and bring them back to Daryl, or for Daryl to do commercial, that's been a great, you know, way to do things. The thing that I'm most concerned with is if we don't take this opportunity to move forward with this technology. I mean, this is a different, you know, than it was 3 years ago. You know, for some reason 3 years ago it didn't go. Well, then Beatrice did it, and now we have this opportunity to do it. If we can get the price down better on the taking the small towns out. You know, it's not only used for my office. It would be used for Gus, you know, for everybody that I, you know, different ways. We talked about planning and zoning, even if Nancy would have to go out if there's just a deck put on a home. You know, could you look at pictometry and see that deck and say, you know, well, that's okay. I don't need to take the time to go out to that place because it's not near a roadway or it's not near, you know. I'm willing to put it in my budget, you know, if Doug would be from pictometry would be willing to. I don't know when he would need payment. There is a seminar that he invited me to tomorrow in Bellevue. So it's a users group in the morning, and in, I asked him about taking the small towns out, you know. And so if you would consider the price of an employee with benefits and with vacation time and so forth, you know, that's why I did not hire back from – I moved Annette up to deputy, and I don't need another staff as far as a clerk. I need another person that's going to be able to go out into the field and do more work like that.
And when we talked after the last meeting, there actually is money in her budget right now where she, you know, really you don't need us to give permission. There's dollars where you could.
Well, I wouldn't have the dollar. I don't think. The dollar amount to.
I'm against it for various reasons, and so I'm not going to vote for it whenever it comes up. But as finance chairman, I did go through and try to come up with some potential places if the board decides to vote to pass this, where we can potentially get dollars from. One is the in the assessor's budget, just to about $225,000, and $200,000 of that is wages and benefits. So about $25,000 or so dollars that is out there to some extent to be used. There is a miscellaneous general contract services Turk/standard, and we have $68,000 in that. Historically, we've budgeted around $68,000 and spent less than $40,000. So there are some dollars there. There's a miscellaneous contingency that we put in there for things that come up, typically emergency type things, of about $250,000 there. And then there's inheritance fund, which we can go. We started off with about $2.9 million. We have obligated to Armor Coating and Hickory Road a total of about $1.1 million. So there's $1.8 million that we've obligated to what we call miscellaneous capital outlay. So as I went through rudely quickly this morning trying to come up with some places where there are some dollars to do that this year if the board decides to do that.
And as far as funding, I know Doug has mentioned he'd work with us on budgets and stuff, so that's something that we don't have no contract to vote on or whatever yet. We need to get this down better to see and then to see if it passes or not. One other just quick thing on math, our mill levy, the county's mill levy just itself, none of the other entities included, is around just a little under 27 cents. And the other down at Doug's office, I didn't have that number for you. But if you take 15 million times that 27 mill levy, that's a little bit over $40,000 of increased taxes. That would only be the county share, not everybody else in there. So, and I don't know. I don't know if we have pictometry, if you can come up with another $15 million in valuation or not. I don't know that, but I'm just throwing that number out there so people have an idea where that would be at.
Well, and, you know, it's just moving our county in the right direction. I feel, you know, the technologies are changing. I know the bigger counties are taking iPads out to the field. We're not there yet, you know, but I know some of the bigger counties are there, you know, where there's a lot of things that you can do with this. If schools ever decide to come on board with, you know, for security measures. I think that's something that they take on then, or, you know, with the county. I just am really, this isn't a wish. I mean, this is just another tool to help me to get things more equalized for everybody. I don't like the person coming in going, well, my neighbor put up this shed and I'm pretty sure you don't have it. Or this guy turned, you know, his CRP ground is no longer CRP. You've missed that. You need to come out there. You know, if we had this, and I'm just saying it's a tool to help me pick up value. And that's what we are supposed to do as the county, is to value what's out there. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just, if everybody pays their fair share, you know, that's what my goal is. And if it can make things easier and it's a tool that I can use. One thing I do know over the years with Denny and everything, we've saved quite a bit of money on protests because we have not had the referees. We've had Darrow on specialty problems. But, I mean, there was days when we spent tons of money on referees coming in here, because when you go to someone like an appraiser, they're going to charge you a lot per hour, just like a, you know, plumber, electrician, or anything else is going to, because that's their business. A fee appraisal right now on a commercial building could cost in the upwards of $4,500 just for one fee appraisal. And so to get an appraiser in my office, you would probably, in order to get him to stay, would have to pay him quite a bit. And other, because they can make more on the outside. And I'm just, you know, if we could take this set of buildings, measure them, then send my people out to just go and look at conditions. Does it have a concrete floor? You know, is it finished inside? Does it have electricity? You know, I don't know that I've been here to the board asking for a lot, but I feel like that's why I did not replace an employee as a clerk, because I need more on the appraisal side. And that would be my, and I'd be willing to put it in my budget. And there again, I want to see what Doug proposes to me tomorrow. And I would hope at least we could see that. And, you know, I can live with it either way. It would be a great tool for me. That's my stance on it, you know, is to try to treat everybody the same. And
John. And I guess the one thing on this, even if it would fine $15 million in valuation, that doesn't increase revenue to the county. We set our budget, and then we set our mill levy. What it would do is, it would lower the mill levy a fraction for the 95% that are doing things right. And it would add valuation to the 5% that are not reporting things.
Well, and your school districts are getting, you know, you're looking at tax statements now, and they're baffling. You know, I never seen tax statements on even the rural as high as almost $1 million. You know, the tax statements that are coming out now are $800,000, $900,000, and my whole time of being assessor, that's a lot of value out there with farm ground. And I'm not picking on the farm ground. This is for the cities too. It's easier to go into the city from my standpoint, like a small town, than it is to do some of the things in the rural area. But the schools deserve to get exactly what they need for value, the cities, the counties. And it's my job to do that. And that's the bottom line. And the resources I've got to have resources to do those. You know, with Dan retiring in March, we need to sit down and maybe have some ideas from Darrell and a few people of what we can do. You know, because I'm going to have from March to June that I'm not going to have probably anybody hired, or, you know, where do we go? Do we add Darrell more days to the con? There's a lot of different things that I would like some input from the board. You know, I think we've done the protests very well. I've tried to take some care. You know, it's easy to go out for me. If it's just a rental or something, let me look at the condition. I could come back here and take care of a lot of those things without even, you know. And that has saved huge dollars over the years. Because if you look back, and I know Don can, there was referees that actually came in here and charged $75 an hour to do one property. And so I feel like we have tried to do good on the protest and save some money. And, you know, but there are times when we do have commercial, and I'll be the first to admit that's difficult. And so Daryl needs his expertise to do those kinds of things. Other counties have moved forward with this, and, you know, like I said, I think it's an opportunity. I'm willing, if Doug is willing to put it in my budget, call it an employee or, you know. So, but I would like the opportunity to at least see what he pitches at me tomorrow.
Yes.
And do some negotiating with him.
And we will have it on our next meeting's agenda again. We will have it on there so that we see what to do.
But, and if there's anything anybody would like to, you know, ask or anything further, you know, what I need to talk to him about, because I have told him, taking the towns out, I did tell him what we talked about down at the city. So I do know Richardson County, Jefferson. And I don't know why Jefferson doesn't. I mean, I don't know why they don't use pictometry. They've had it for years, I think.
Well, this isn't new to them.
No.
I didn't know if maybe it was something where it was new and they're learning it. Or
it's not new to them. I even talked to an emergency manager, I guess, you know, I know, and Tim a little bit, and I don't know what he can use it for. Donna Munoz was asking me, can it produce large type maps that people request from our office all the time, and I would think it would be able to do a lot of things like that.
We'll state too.
So it would be a multiple function. It's just, I mean, the assessor's office would use it a truckload, I mean, compared to what maybe, but I don't know what guesses, you know. I'm thinking he could use it at some point, and but I can see what tomorrow will bring and we can go from there. Like I said,
we'll have more information. But unless anybody else has any more questions, I think Leonard's here probably to talk about this, too, to make a few comments quick. So, yes, but does somebody else have other questions first?
Fine.
Oh, okay. Leonard?
Leonard Fritzen, 29A13, South 120th Road. And I've got one question for Gus, though, before I start on this. Now, say if I come in to... If you pick me up and I'm all hammered up, and you take me to jail, do you give them a cold shower to see if they're loaded with beer or with drugs, or how do you handle that?
I'm glad I could didn't stay awake long enough to give them a shower, Leonard. That's the problem.
Okay. Okay, they used to do that, you know.
Yeah, not anymore.
Okay. Okay, that's all I got for you guys.
With a fire hose.
Yeah, I'm thinking that 300, I think that there's a better way than to waste $300 tax dollars, is my thinking. You know, it's only, you're gonna have a flyover once in 3 years, then it's another 6 years, you'll have two of them. And you have to go out and appraise every 6 years. What would it be if you go out every 3 years instead of every 6 years? I mean, it don't look quite right. And then you're getting into my privacy. What if I would be out behind the barn and here comes a plane and taking a picture?
They already are doing that.
That's
with
my
Google
privacy.
Earth,
you're getting into the privacy part of it a little bit. And so maybe if I see a strange plane, maybe it's going back to service a little, I might get my 3006 out and start protecting myself. So we're getting into the privacy deal a little bit. I think there's a better way, even though technology, I see where you're coming from. I'm for technology. Computerization is here. And like right now, I could go out and do two townships in a half a day to tell you if there's new buildings. Right now, in the past years, I can just take 8 farmsteads that disappeared in the 2-mile area right around me. And then you take Gage County as a whole, we don't have half as many farmsteads anymore to look after. And then another thing, if they fly on over and they take a picture, well, here's a building. Well, maybe the guy just had it freshly painted. Okay, so he comes on in, you put up a new building. Aren't you going to be liable for lawsuits? For improper saying that I could put up a new building, something like that?
I'm still going to go out on the property. I can measure from my office, though. And the $300,000, Linhart, that is include that $49,000 a year was including Beatrice. So when you've got the figure of $300,000, that's including. That's not, they're going to discount for the county.
The original price that this individual from Petometry gave us included the city of Beatrice's price in there. And Beatrice will pick up part of that. That's something that when we get a better handle on this, what part they will pick up is roughly the $9,000 or $10,000 a year, or out of the $50,000 a year. Those are round numbers, though, too. But we don't have a real good handle on this yet. We need a better price from him than what was proposed when he was here.
Look at all the pictures the airplanes take of individual folders. You got them all.
I've already had planes fly over 10 years ago. So we do have some from GIS.
Not from this company, yes, from a different
company. From GIS, yeah. And, like, your imagery of your land, they fly over all the time to get your imagery for your FSA.
FSA map.
Yeah, every 2 years they fly over. So actually what you could do is you could drive by those townships, but I have to physically step on them after I've maybe inventoried all my buildings. I could inventory the house. I can inventory all my buildings, measure them from my desk, take the sheet out to the office. At some point, it may be a tablet.
You take still won't know, though, if it's a new building or repainted or whatever.
We can go. Then we'll go on site with the assessor. When years ago, we did full-blown appraisals where they came on your property and left a door tag if nobody was home. And, you know, we didn't get a lot of callbacks, but we went ahead and measured. That is in, and that's in state statute that we can do that. You know, now it's a little bit different of a world now. So, I mean, you've got to be careful out there, because plus we've got locked gates and things like that. Yeah, you do. I mean, there is some, and, you know, people don't like to see, you know, government officials on their property. So we can have an assessor's thing on the side of the car, but it's something that I would use as a tool in my office, and then somebody still has to go out, because we would not know if a concrete was in that building, but it's saving them a truckload of time by looking at conditions. We already have an overlay of what was there once before. Now we come over with a new flight with much better pictures, remeasure the buildings, go back, look at their conditions. Some may go up, some may go down. And I can tell you there's people out there that aren't paying attention to their property record cards, because we got some buildings out there that we've got some, I mean, there should be probably no value compared to what in one winter a roof can fall in. So people need to kind of look at their own property record card to see, you know, come tell us if this building is bad or whatever. Because there's a flip side of that, too. I mean, we could be looking at buildings that shouldn't have any value, that when you look at the whole scheme of things, when I send you out a tax notice, you're looking at your land and you're looking at your buildings, but you're most concerned of your land, because that's what's raised, where you may have some outbuildings that really aren't much value anymore. And you may want to, you know, we do have inventories of all that. Every property owner should come to my office and discuss their property with me and look and see that we've got everything according, you know. We have a request from 1978 where somebody split a lot off and the lot size is incorrect when they went to sell the property now. Well, she wants a refund back to 1978. And the law says current year and 3 years back, because it is my responsibility to do that back in 78. I don't know who did that, but there was an error made in the office. And it wasn't split right. I think it's about a $25 per year, but I can't go back to 78 and give it to her.
That's too many.
I can go back current year and 2 years back, but you know, everybody needs to pay attention to their own property record card and come in and we'll pull everything out and look at it.
Now, when they fly on over, you'll still have to go out there and if they see something. So why not make an extra appraisal every 3 years instead of six?
We might be doing it real. I mean, with this kind of technology, the law states I have to be on a property one every 6 years. So if I'm at your house doing all your buildings year one, 6 years later, I better be back on your property. I'm going to do it more often than that, you know. And hopefully you're going to be honest enough that if you're going to put a new grain bin up or new, that you're going to come into the planning and zoning and get a permit and say, I put a new grain bin up.
So.
Did you hear that, Leonard?
That is fine. Now, that's just like the appraisal that come on out. They had a patio, what was my footsteps, my steps to go into the house. And then the concrete in front, that was a patio. So where's the mistake coming from? How much knowledge have them appraisers got? I could probably justify to be one, too. So, but anyhow, I just want to, not that I want to pick on you, a new technology is always coming. I mean,
and
I see it. But
I'm not sure it's the best thing in the world, you know,
well,
but that's
you know, Leonard, we gave you the opportunity to protest that issue as far as your concrete porch was concerned, didn't
you
we?
You bet.
That's right.
You bet.
So you paid attention.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Leonard.
Yeah, you bet.
Appreciate
that's
it.
All
yep.
I got to say.
If anybody else has anything else, I need a motion, entertain a motion to go into, we're going to have a closed session necessary for protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And we have another issue that showed up. We have a property and a personnel issue that we're going to talk about in closed session. So there won't be any decisions coming out of that or anything. So but we have one personnel issue and one property issue now.
Move to go in the closed session.
Second.
A motion by Tiemann, a second by Lytle to go into closed session at 10:44. Vote 7-0.
Go.
I mean, you know, any conflict of interest.
Mike is on. We're entertain a motion to come out of executive session at 11:25.
Shit on this.
Move. Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Tiemann. Vote 6-0. Bauman is left.
Yep.
6 in favor, 0. 6-0. Anything else for the good of the order? One thing everybody really needs to be aware of is our next board meeting is not on Wednesday. It's on the Thursday because of the holiday.
Yep. Another one of them holidays.
I'd have showed up on Wednesday, Myron.
We are November the 12th, our next board meeting. So plan accordingly, and that'll be an important one. The one other thing, just one other quick thing, and we'll talk about it a little bit at that time in committee meeting, our next committee meeting. We our bids for the Hickory Road, we may accept them that day. I mean, we'll accept them that day, but we may approve them or not approve them. We'll talk with Galen, and if Minnelli's going to be here and everything for them to look it over, we may delay that decision 2 weeks to award that bid, just so everybody's aware of that.
You know, one thing I was asking Terry about and wanted to look at these, Minnelli had talked about putting a rumble strip in that in the center of that road by the coke plant because of being fogged over at times, and I just wanted to make sure it was in there, and if not, maybe, I don't know.
That's a good idea.
It really is.
The other thing, Terry, you guys have paid a little more attention to the actual engineering of this. On the East Hill from Lynn Gerber's place, just east, there's been an erosion problem there for the last few years, and it's because of a sand deposit.
He's well aware of it. Provisions there.
I'm well aware of it.
I figured, but I just didn't want to not mention it and didn't get taken care
it's
of.
It's in the design. Okay. It's in the design, and they're aware of it, and that will need to be handled.
John, I'll look on the plans, too. See, he gave me a set there that I was just started going through. Yeah. I'll look to see if it's there or not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at times, it's going to be fogged over.
Mm-hmm. It will.
That will be.
We
definitely talked about that a year or two ago, that we need that.
Yes. We were building a house for Kimmerlings when they didn't make it in an accident in the coke plant.
Yep.
Good idea.
Just a minute. We'll adjourn the meeting, 11:27. Sorry, we just adjourned the meeting. Yeah, I'm done. Now I am. Yeah, we had turned the mic off.
We can read. Do they really need to come stand in front of us and read this to us?
I guess.
I mean,
probably
Gus comes
out. I'll be home, and if you've got the combine there.
I can read this shit.
Does this include
green card?
Does this include?
That's all we need. Yeah, I'll be home.
We're going to go by one.
You bet. Sounds good.
Okay. And the sheriff's department, if I was a deputy.
And that's what I'm saying.
They're on duty, so yeah.
On duty.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm paying for all of them.
Leave people alone.
Just like this page.
We got a county prosecutor that wouldn't prosecute this nonsense.